America's Next Top Model, The Masked Singer. Who's The Masked Singer? We don't know. We could
We
have talked
don't know. Yo, I've been obsessed, not gonna lie,
about
Temptation
Rachel.
Island. It's
That's,
interesting.
you know what I'm
It's
obsessed with?
so trashy.
You
What
know
are
what
you
I'm
obsessed
obsessed with,
with?
though?
What are you obsessed with?
You know what I'm obsessed with? I'm obsessed with, like, when I record you guys before the show starts.
That's fine.
Hey, yo. Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
It's Patrick O'Dowd.
You straight punk bitch!
I mean, you're just gonna replace me.
Shut up!
Brandon Morales.
The biggest slut in the Western Hemisphere!
Why do I have to have a buzzer?
And Greg DeMarco.
You are now and will forever be an asshole.
Because it's my show.
And I love you, Greg.
You guys know how to party.
You're welcome.
That song means it is a Tuesday night. The time is 8:04 p.m. That is, of course, the time in Phoenix, Arizona, which means it's 10:04 p.m. for Patrick O'Dowd. None of that means anything to any of you listening because the show doesn't drop until Wednesday. This is the Greg DeMarco Show. My name is Greg DeMarco. You can follow me on social media at ChairShotGreg. That's Facebook. That's Instagram. That's Twitter. Look, do it, right? It'll be great. And when I come back, you'll be really glad that you followed me. Whenever I do, I don't know. But at some point, we will do that. The Greg DeMarco Show is presented to you as part of the ChairShot Radio Network, which you can hear exclusively at
thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
This show has been around for like, what, shit, 8 years now? Over 8 years now. Almost 9 years. We'll have to do a 9-year celebration because everybody celebrates 9 years, right? That's what happens. And since day one, there's been one person who's been doing this show with me. You can follow him on the Twitter at Wrestling Realist. That's WrestlingRealist. It's Patrick O'Dowd.
FabuLous.
Capiche is my
Hey,
favorite
yo.
Part. Capiche is what my stepmother used to say. Like,
I believe that.
Capiche? And it wasn't until, like, I don't know, a couple months ago that I realized she says capiche. I should just cut out just capiche to use at, like, different
Yeah, you
points.
Can work it.
I could.
I'm sure you can find a place for yet another soundbite.
I mean,
on
right?
The Greg DeMarco Show.
Right?
Like,
so,
yeah.
I'll get to the soundbites in a second. I'll get to the soundbites in a second. I did some work today. And,
Oh, dear.
Did a little bit of work. But before we do that, we got to bring in participant number three of this show, Ring Announcer to the Stars, the inspiration behind the Queen of Softstyle t-shirt, because she is the Queen of Softstyle, hashtag Miranda, Miranda Morales. She is at the hashtag Miranda on the Instagram, by the way. She was too busy dancing. I didn't talk when the music ended, so I just jumped in. Look, get your dance on. No judge here. No judge. You know that's my rule. I don't judge. So, I mean, I judge Patrick.
Because I got mad moves. That's why.
That's
I
what
mean,
it is.
Hello. Yes, I got mad moves up in here.
Everybody
office.
Has mad moves on an audio show. That's the way that works. Everybody.
I feel like I don't see Patrick dance enough. You know, I feel like I'm missing out.
You are.
It's because I don't really dance.
The entertainment factor is quite high.
Exactly. I feel like is it like reserved for only the specialist of occasions?
Yeah, very few people get to see me dance.
Exactly. That's why I feel like I'm missing out.
Well, you know, maybe if I'd gotten a t-shirt before you did, you'd get to see me dance.
Oh, fucking A.
Wow.
You know what? Let's just keep rubbing that in, Miranda. Why don't you tell everybody where they can find those t-shirts?
Right.
Such a good job.
Yes, you can go and get your very own Queen of Soft Style shirt and various other chair shot shirts at prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot.
Yes. Yes, you can. That's exciting, too. Head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Click store on the menu at thechairshot.com. There's so many ways to get your very own chair shot t-shirt. Patrick, what's the Twitter following at?
It's very bad indeed, Greg. We lost a follower.
Did you? So what are you at?
Down to 453.
Ooh.
Very, very, very bad.
You lost three. Weren't you at 456 last week?
Yeah, but it was down to 454 on Bandwagon Nerds on when we did the show on Sunday. So we did suffer a drop because for some reason the Twitter follower count now has to be on both shows.
Continuity. Look, storyline continuity is not only in pro wrestling.
I got Big Rick asking me for updates on the show. I know it's very bad indeed. We're living in a web of misery here in Twitterverse as I languish in the 450s.
I mean, you are. You're languishing. We're happy and excited and having fun.
I just have an important question. Are you tweeting about Baby Yoda? Because I feel like it's still real topical. I mean, I'm just throwing that out there. More Baby Yoda always helps.
He's giving the child. The child. His name's not Yoda. And so it's not
this
Yoda.
This is the problem. This is what's wrong. Right here, Patrick O'Dowd. This is what's
hashtag
wrong.
Baby Yoda. Hashtag listen. Baby Yoda for life.
Listen to the boss.
It's okay. Boss time.
So that you'll notice that soundbite was shorter.
It's boss time.
So I did some editing, right? So now we have this.
It's boss time. It's boss time. It's boss time. It's boss time. It's boss time in Brooklyn.
But I also have this.
It's boss time.
I have this.
Here comes the big dog. The big dog, Roman Reigns. The big dog. And we kick off Monday Night Raw live tonight in Phoenix, Arizona with the big dog.
Which means I also have this.
Here comes the big dog.
I have this.
You're so vain. You probably think this song is about you.
And I have this.
You're so vain.
Got short versions of things now. Short versions. It's very, very, very.
Congratulations.
Very, I know, right? It's. I feel.
I do have a thought, though. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I feel like we got the point.
I also have that one still. Same length.
Never gets old. I feel like we have to do one show in Brooklyn at some point just so that you can do the It's Boss Time in Brooklyn. Like, we just all got to, like, meet.
True.
I know a guy in Brooklyn. We could do it. We could do it from his apartment.
Do you?
Okay. Yeah, my friend Cornelius.
Is that how
Cornelius.
Like, oh, I know a guy in Brooklyn. I feel like that's such a Brooklyn thing to say.
I mean, you don't know a guy in Brooklyn?
I do. Cornelius.
Wild card, bitches!
Everybody knew
I don't think Miranda liked me playing all those. I really don't. Like,
yeah, I mean,
she had an adverse reaction.
The audience can't see the facial expressions,
right?
There was definitely like that neutral face emoji that people send out when they're like, just like that was Miranda's
face. That was Miranda's
face.
It was.
Yeah, I used that one a lot.
But that always makes her happy. So Patrick O'Dowd, Ask and you shall receive.
Yes! There we go! All right, good job!
That's a good one.
That was hard to get. Here was the problem. I mentioned last week that I was having a hard time, but I didn't say why. Almost every file I could find or sound I could find of Boom had the commentators talking. That was the problem. And really, where I cut that one off, like right where it starts, is right after someone stops talking. And that's the problem there. The commentators have learned, but they're not quite yet as good at. So that's why it took a little bit longer. But we got it, and that's what matters. We got it. So I wanted to give you guys a quick update before we move forward. Last week when Miranda was having her technical difficulties, no technical difficulties this week. Nope, none. Not any. Nope. Not any whatsoever. Zero, as far as you, the listener, knows. As far as we know, plenty. But I jokingly told Patrick that, you know, Patrick made the joke that, you know, obviously this just had to be a two-person show, not a three-person show. And I told him that, you know, when while he was gone, people seemed to like the hashtag Miranda and Greg DeMarco super such good shit show. Pal actually left out the word such on the rundown, so I'll fix that. I don't know why. But, so Miranda and I talked this weekend, and we have decided that the shit show will live on. The shit show will go on with less frequency, maybe once a month, maybe twice a month. We will record it separately from the Greg DeMarco show. The Greg DeMarco show will not change, and there's a reason for that. Because from day one, I said I would not do this show without Patrick O'Dowd. I said if there was no Patrick, there would be no show. Now, if Patrick decided to leave at this point, back then, if Patrick left, I would leave too. Now, if Patrick left, I'd have to keep going. Like, that's just, we've come too far. I've
become expendable, yes. And you start new shows with other people behind my back. So,
said the guy who started a new show with other people.
With your blessing.
Yeah. I don't need your blessing to start other shows. So
your network.
Plus, here's the
thing.
It is my network. So here's the thing, too. Here's my fear in life, right? Say I was like, you know what?
And I alone.
Yeah. And I alone, yes. Say I decided that.
That's real deep.
Right. Dark.
That's got dark.
I'm trying to be funny here. It's not working. I decided that we were going to do the shit show only and that Patrick O'Dowd was going to go away. Here's my luck in life, right? Some other podcast would come along and they would swoop in, scoop up Patrick O'Dowd. It'd be like it'd be like every other wrestling podcast you hear. Guys would be like, oh my God, I can't believe that Roman is going to win the 2020 Royal Rumble. Roman is going to win the 2020 Royal Rumble, by the way. And Patrick would come in and like save their program. It would triple. He'd get up to 500 followers on Twitter. Then he'd get up to 600 followers on Twitter. Then he'd get up to 700 followers on Twitter. Then I would have to deal with something that sounds remotely like this.
Yeah, you couldn't do it without me. Kobe, you couldn't do it without me. Kobe, you can't do it without me. Everybody, Kobe, tell me how my ass tastes.
And I can't deal with that. Because Patrick would do that. Right? Patrick would do that to me.
Patrick would ask you how his ass tastes?
He sure would. Okay. He sure would. It'd be my life.
Yeah, you couldn't do it without me.
Greg.
Kobe, you couldn't do it without me.
Greg.
Kobe, you can't do it without me. Everybody.
Greg.
Kobe, tell me how my ass tastes.
And I'd never hear the end of it. That's what would happen if I ditched Patrick O'Dowd. So for that reason and that reason alone, because I'm so vain, and I don't want to have to go through that.
You're so vain.
Patrick stays. Patrick stays.
Much to the disappointment of the audience, is that what I caught?
No. About? You know what, audience? You don't like it? You don't like it, audience?
Tell me how my ass tastes.
That's what I have to say, audience.
Yes. Fuck them.
That's
fuck
right.
Em.
Woo!
Even yes.
That's
Patrick
that's
stays.
Patrick stays, audience. Patrick stays.
Tell me how my ass tastes.
And now I have that, by the way. Just be warned.
Oh, God.
Oh. Man, are you sure we're not recording a shit show right now?
I mean, every show is kind of a shit show. There's just certain ones that are official and unofficial. And so this is not officially a shit show.
Hey, yo.
But unofficially, everything's a shit show. I got too many toys now.
What do you do?
I mean, I've always had too many. All right. Maybe we'll talk, you know, I think we can segue into topics now, right? You guys think we can segue into topics?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think it's like, what, 20 minutes in? We can do it.
Well, we started late because somebody had technology issues, but yeah. 15, the official clock says 15 minutes, so that'll give everybody a sense of where we are.
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You can look, but you can't touch. You keep dreaming on the stars above. Something in your eyes lets me see right through you.
So last week on the program, we discussed the 2020 WWE Hall of Fame class because it was announced that Batista, Big Dave, was going into the Hall, and it was, of course, announced that the NWO was going into the Hall of Fame as well. Now, quick recap for those of you who may not have heard. First of all, if you haven't heard, go back and listen. It's damn good stuff. But if you haven't heard, we're all cool with Big Dave going in. We're all excited about Big Dave going in. As far as the NWO goes, I mean, there's a major omission.
I'm back, and I'm better than ever.
Hey, yo.
Now, I don't think Miranda was as upset about that as we were, Patrick, but she was. Yeah.
Did you? And Eric gave a very, you know, what we would expect to be the typical sort of response. It was very tasteful, very dignified on Conrad Thompson's 83 Weeks podcast, even though Conrad was trying to rile him up a little bit. But yeah, I still don't get it. It feels like there's some shenanigans behind the decision not to include the guy who created the thing.
I agree with you. We said our piece last week.
Yep.
Maybe we'll say our piece before. But as you know, whenever Hall of Fame announcements start coming out, the news cycle starts rolling. Miranda logs on to her super secret account over at the Wrestling Observer newsletter message
super
board.
Super secret account that everybody knows
that
about.
No one knows about. It's not.
Yeah. Meltzer and my password.
Rules, 6ix9ine. Patrick's mom, 6ix9ine. Those are, that's how you know, not, none of that is valid. No. It won't work. Don't try it. Don't click the password reset button thinking it'll send Miranda another password reset email. She's gotten so many of them.
It will always be the same password.
That's
always.
Right. She'll change it. Then she'll change it back.
For life.
That'll always be the same password. But the news cycle starts rolling. And there was a rumored duo to go into the Hall of Fame that was going to be announced. And this duo, of course, you know, as crazy. I don't even need to see stuff on social media. I saw it in the comment sections of the news sites that were reporting it. But a rumored pairing for the 2020 WWE Hall of Fame was the Bella Twins, Nikki and Brie Bella. And so I wanted to get some opinions on the Bellas. Do they belong in the Hall of Fame? How do we feel about that rumor? It is just a rumor. But to me, it was a good launching point just for some discussion. I don't care. I don't want to talk about the validity of the rumor because that is, we don't care about. But I want to talk about the possibility of the Bella Twins going in the Hall of Fame. Let's go in the usual Patrick, Miranda, Greg order. Patrick O'Dowd, do they belong in the WWE Hall of Fame?
Yes. Like, and I don't really know that there's much argument to it. As we transitioned away from Divas, who was really the division for the better part of a decade prior to this women's division that we have now? It was the Bellas. Period. End of discussion. There's really nothing more to it. And you can act like the WWE Hall of Fame is for, you know, 8-star Dave Meltzer Tokyo Dome matches to rip off another podcast. You know, were they ever, you know, perfect in the ring? No, by no means. Were they the worst thing ever in the ring? No, by no means. But they carried that division. They were that division. And if this rumor turns out to be true, I have zero problems with them going into the WWE Hall of Fame.
Miranda, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's something that Patrick mentioned too about what the WWE Hall of Fame is. And it is, again, WWE is sports entertainment. It is not pro wrestling. And so as much as the Hall of Fame does recognize, of course, you know, WWE superstars that have had an impact throughout the years, decades within wrestling, and they do recognize some professional wrestlers from history, at the end of the day, it's also a big recognition about of those individuals or those people who had a really big impact on the company as far as a form of entertainment. And the Bella Twins were very big in bringing WWE into this reality era that is now kind of the predominant form of storytelling and, you know, within the company. So I do think that they were really instrumental in that. I can see why some purists of wrestling look at this as kind of a disservice or kind of an injustice to other females who are not in the Hall of Fame, especially those women who maybe came before the Bella Twins. A lot of the women's maybe in the 90s and early 2000s. But when you look at the impact that the Bella Twins have had on WWE and bringing them to just a new audience, I mean, they've done that in ways that other superstars have not been able to do in years. So I appreciate their impact. I can understand both sides of the story, but also ultimately you have to look at what the Hall of Fame is. And it's a sports entertainment Hall of Fame. It is not a pro wrestling Hall of Fame. There's other pro wrestling Hall of Fames out there, so you can enjoy and appreciate those. But this is a sports entertainment Hall of Fame. And so, yeah, it makes sense that they're in there.
You brought up a great point that there are other pro wrestling Hall of Fames or Halls of Fame or I don't know, whatever you want to call
Fames
it out
Hall.
There. Fames of Hall. Fames of Hall? I like that.
Hey, yo.
But the thing about those Halls of Fame, Hall of Fames, whatever you want to call them, no one really thinks about those because no one cares about those. When I say no one, I'm talking about the mainstream wrestling fan, the target audience of WWE. The WWE Hall of Fame is a celebration. It's a celebration of all things WWE, things that have fed into the WWE, like we talked about last week, where they're inducting people that they were never there. You know, they induct things that they buy up and have available on the WWE network. The Bella Twins are a huge part of WWE history. People hated this when I pointed it out before. They hate it whenever I bring it up because everybody wants to credit AJ Lee with jumpstarting the Divas Revolution. Patrick's shaking his head because he remembers. It was Nikki Bella who started the hashtag Give Divas a Chance. It was Nikki Bella who was complaining that they were only getting a minute and 30 seconds for a match. It was Nikki Bella who was pushing for them to get a larger platform to grow on and to show their skills and to show their abilities. People don't want to think about that because the internet wrestling fan didn't want longer matches out of Nikki Bella. They wanted longer matches out of AJ Lee, and that's when AJ Lee started doing it. And, of course, she was feuding with Nikki Bella at the time and still real to them, so they were jumping on the board, you know, on board with AJ Lee. But really, it was Nikki Bella who jump-started all of that. WWE had Evolution last year, like a year and 2 months ago. First match that everybody thinks about in Evolution is Charlotte Flair versus Becky Lynch. That match was insane. They were all over the place, trash everywhere. The main event of Evolution was not that match. The main event of Evolution was Ronda Rousey versus who, Patrick O'Dowd?
Nikki Bella.
Nikki Bella. And yet Nikki's the more prominent Bella in terms of professional wrestling. Like, that's just
right,
the
right.
way it is. Nikki doesn't get any credit
in
for
more
what
ways
did.
Than one.
Yes. But she,
oh, come on.
Take away.
I did it.
Take away the boob job, right? Nikki did transform herself physically, even without that. Like, she completely changed how she was working out. She completely changed her in-ring style. Like, she elevated her game because she wanted to be better. No one wants to give her credit because she's Nikki Bella. But she deserves some credit for what she did and where she was there. And we've kind of already done this transition, but transitioning to their place in WWE history, I mean, why is it so hard for people to accept the Bella Twins, Patrick?
Because it goes back to the same reason why they refused to accept Roman Reigns when the WWE wanted you to accept Roman Reigns. They like to use this phrase, Miranda, do you know what the phrase is that the internet wrestling community likes to use when they don't like someone who's on TV?
I'd say it's probably they feel like someone's being shoved down their throat.
Here comes the big dog. Exactly. Yeah. Again, called that Roman Reigns is going to be a big deal. When the Shield was introduced. Yeah, we got it all. That's on a podcast.
Put up your thumb, Patrick. Put up your thumb.
That was the wrong way.
You'll get there.
Well, I didn't catch what you were doing. Anyway, because, you know, I only sort of watch NXT.
You asked for it. You asked for that soundbite last week. You were like, Greg, when are we going to get the boom soundbite? There you go.
Better. All right. But no, it's because there's a subset of the audience that decided very, very early that they were going to hate everything involving the Bellas. Pretty much from the get-go when it became clear that the WWE wanted to market them and push them. Even though from their perspective, and I got to agree, that marketing and that pushing worked. I mean, they got a TV show out of the deal. Like, I mean, that the WWE doesn't do if they don't see you as marketable, if they don't see you as somebody who could help carry a division and help move that forward. So, you know, I think that there's that group of fans that have just never wanted to be happy about it. They're the people that pay the higher amounts of money to go to places where they can boo and make it seem like they're worse than they are. And it's a refusal to accept what they brought for, like I said, a good decade at the WWE.
Yeah, it's just pain. Go ahead, Mary.
Jinx. No, I was going to say that I also think, too, the timing of when they were first introduced was still heavy in that Divas era. And for some reason, that really sticks with fans. And also because of the fact that they've been more recognized for other ventures outside of wrestling, they haven't been known as being, you know, the greatest professional wrestlers. To their credit, both of them have worked really hard, and to see their progression over the years, they both commented that they were brought on as models and didn't get a lot of formal training. There wasn't the structure of developmental as it is now. So they literally were on the road and learning while they went along. So finding any place that they could to train, which is a lot more harder and rigorous than the structure of now of NXT or even other people on the independent circuit. So I also don't think they get a lot of credit for what they learned and how they learned it in the time frame that they learned it. But going back to kind of the origin stories, that I think still sticks with people's heads. And they were also more recognized for their relationships, which, you know, that is another thing that has become more popular in professional wrestling, is who is dating who. I mean, there was this whole thing with Nikki and John, and, you know, they're no longer together, but that was a huge storyline that encompassed a whole year. On the flip side, though, I think it really benefited Brie being involved with Daniel. And I think that it did help her career in some ways as far as the recognition, but also them as a duo. So I do think that they've also, people are just more cognizant about who they've been dating and, you know, what TV shows they've been on than their actual wrestling ability.
It's so funny, too, when you talk about the TV show, because people tend to like Miz and Maryse, and Miz and Maryse does pretty well in the ratings as well when it's on. Without the Bella Twins and Total Divas and what followed, I don't think there's a Miz and Maryse. Like, they really did blaze some trails.
There isn't.
Yeah.
I don't even know if there's still as much of a Total Divas, because, you know, they were able to spin off into Total Bellas, and they're still on Total Divas sporadically, but I don't think there's a lot of other spin-off wrestling shows in general. And that's a big success to the Bella Twins and their involvement in Total Divas.
Right. And they shouldn't be involved in Total Divas at this point, really, when you look at their role in the company. Like, they're not on TV regularly.
No, like, they haven't been seen since Evolution, right? Like, that was the last time
right.
we saw
they're,
them.
They're part-timers. Yeah. They're straight up, yeah. if you want to even call it that.
Yeah. Actually, according, I think, into the either last few episodes or I think earlier this season, I'm not quite sure, but they've been flip-flopping on retirement announcements where Brie kind of gone back and forth on retirement, non-retirement. Nikki, due to her injuries, hasn't been able to wrestle and has kind of retired. So they go back and forth. And it adds mystery, too, because of the fact they keep on going back and forth. When the women's tag team titles were introduced, the first people that a lot of fans thought of who should go after the belt were the Bella Twins, too. Mm-hmm. So it's also kind of an interesting thought process where, yes, they may not be remembered as the most technical wrestlers, but people do recognize them as a powerful duo, because if not, then why, you know, were people talking about them as people who should be involved in the tag team title hunt, and still would, and would still pop. If they came out together to challenge the Kabuki Warriors right now, people would lose their shit. So, and they wouldn't care what the wrestling, I think, looked like, because it would be a good fucking story.
Could you imagine? Okay, people would lose their shit, right, if they came out to challenge the Kabuki Warriors. What if they won?
No.
What if they beat the Kabuki Warriors?
Oh, no.
Could that you way. Imagine? Oh.
Talk about people losing their shit.
That would be fantastic. I want to see it happen so bad now. Just because of that. Yeah, people did want them to be in the Elimination Chamber. I don't think they wanted them to win, but they wanted them to be in it. And that's just that whole Bella Twin thing. Given that people wanted them in the Elimination Chamber, wanted them to be part of the tag team championship scene, have people come around on the Bellas? Like they came around on John Cena, like they came around on Roman Reigns. Have they come around on them?
I don't know.
Define come around, because I feel like there's some of it, yes. I mean, people still will cheer for them when they come out. You know, they still very popular in signings. I'm sure they still have, you know, some merch coming around. But as far as, you know, entertainers, yes. As far as professional wrestlers, I still don't think so.
But I guess with the WWE audience, you said define come around. I'm going to turn that around on you. How would you define come around?
I mean, we always pop for returns. Like, yes. Period. Like,
because it's the casual fan that's popping for the return. Even when John Cena would come out, or when Roman Reigns would come out, there's a pop, then there's the boos. The pop is most the audience. The boos are the hardcore fans. And then most of the audience plays along with, oh, we're supposed to boo now, it's fun, yay! And that's why they boo. And I think the same thing would happen with the Bella Twins. Yeah, I think people. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what come around even means.
I think fans are fine with them. I think that they would be treated well at a Hall of Fame ceremony. I think they would be treated well when it got announced. I think that for as much as, you know, the hardcore fans or the smart fan or whatever acts the fool, when it comes to stuff like the Hall of Fame, kind of because they're such big marks for stuff like that. They respect the people who get in for the most part, outside of like Coco Beware. And Bless His Heart.
Own league.
But I'm just glad that we're not the podcast that would just immediately bring up Coco Beware as the reason why the Bellas should get in. Like, I hate when people do
no,
that.
No, I don't think people that's play the Coco reason why card. The Bellas should get in. Well, I think, go ahead, Marina.
I was going to say just that, I mean, this past year's in women's inductee, Tori Wilson, I think there was a lot of people who were surprised. And I think that if there was more of a shock or just more of a dismay or people thinking, you know, does this person deserve to be in the Hall of Fame? I felt like that there'd probably be more uproar of Tori Wilson than the Bella Twins, because I feel like the Bella Twins had more of an impact than Tori Wilson.
Oh, absolutely.
But to Patrick's point, people came around, and, you know, maybe at first people were pretty shocked and upset, but when it came time to the ceremony, you know, she was cheered for. She got some really good press and recognition, and overall, like, the fan support grew. So even if at first people were upset, they'll definitely come around. But I think also, you know, based off of this year, I do think the Bella Twins would be an improvement over what we saw this past year.
Yeah, and I think that there's this entitlement from fans that does take place of who should get in first or before. Like the Molly Holly campaign, for God's sakes, that I see on Twitter all the time. And I love Molly Holly. I'm not going to say that I don't. But like that, she's an example of like this name that just keeps popping up. Like, why isn't Molly Holly in the Hall? And it's like, I don't know that I got a good answer for you. She wasn't that dynamic. Like, she wasn't that dominant of a figure amongst the women wrestlers. Like, she was a great work rate wrestler and she did whatever the company wanted. But she's not the, if you ask me to name 10 divas that really dominated their era, or dominated, say, even the, her era, where does Molly Holly fall? I bet she falls behind Tori Wilson.
I don't know. Yeah. In the ring, I think she falls behind Tori Wilson.
Well, no, yeah.
But look at the lens of the people who are picking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And look at the lens of who, and look at the lens of what they see as driving the business and driving women. What, where, how many magazine covers was Molly Holly on, for example?
Maybe one.
Maybe. That tells you all you need to know. That tells you all you need to know.
So here's the question. This is completely off the wall question, but since you brought up Molly Holly, since we've talked about the Bellas, we're all in agreement. We think they're a step up from Tori Wilson last year. We did a who goes in first last week. Let's do a who goes in first again. Who goes in first? Molly Holly or the Hurricane? Mighty Molly or the Hurricane? Who goes in first? Miranda, who goes in first? Let's go old school, okay? Let's go old school. We used to, when we did pay-per-view picks back before there was a Friday Night SmackDown and matches were announced after we recorded, we would always do a who should win and who will win. So let's do that. Who should go in first? Who will go in first?
I think that who probably will and in some way should go in first, and I hate saying this, but I think it's just lined up, is the Hurricane. I feel like his character was so big and dynamic, and even though it was so much of a kind of a supporting role in the context of, you know, the time frame that he was wrestling, it's still very memorable. And also, I think statistically, when there's just more slots available for, maybe not available, but the way that they are doing selection, the way
that
they
select,
I'm
sorry, I didn't mute it fast enough.
People are the there's usually just only one woman inducted every year where there's multiple men. So I think also within that, the Hurricane will probably go in first before Molly Holly.
Patrick?
Miranda's correct in that the Hurricane will get in, and I think he should. And I think this is one of those where, you know, that character is memorable. You can point to some pretty big moments with him. I'm looking at you, Royal Rumble, for example. And I think that the other thing is that in general, Shane Helms has just been a lot for that company as well over the years. So I also think that factors in a way that doesn't help Molly.
Plus, he works there, and that was kind of the Lance example.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I was getting at. That's what I was trying to get at.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of the whole Lance Storm example from last week, you know. Guy works there, and that's also an influential.
So when Lance Storm gets inducted this year, we all know why.
That's right. Yes. It's because we suggested on the show last week, and people listened to the show. Right. Just like when the Bellas are announced next week as Hall of Fame inductees, we can take credit for that as well.
Stand back! There's a hurricane coming through!
Go ahead, Miranda.
I was going to say, let's, I know we kind of did this last week, but since we know, you know, WWE Hall of Fame officials listen to this show, I mean, we should we suggest some other names that they should highly consider?
I think we should sabotage the Hall of Fame and give names they shouldn't consider because they're terrible.
Yeah, okay. That's what kind
like,
of I was
like, for example, lying, but... I vote Ryback. Ryback in the Hall. He's dead.
I like that.
Speaking of women with impact, Crystal. I mean, she.
Oh,
took me a second to even realize who the hell you were talking. I'm like, what? Did she like take tickets? Like, who are we talking about here? I don't understand.
Yes, that
<It's> Crystal. You're like Crystal, and I'm like,
shut up.
It was Crystal. I don't know who Crystal is.
Shut up.
Oh my goodness. Well, I mean, if we're gonna make suggestions for the Hall of Fame, you know. Put him in now. Just put him in now.
Put him in now.
You know, Shaquille O'Neal once appeared in the Battle Royal.
Tell me how my ass tastes.
We can put him in there. Is he in already? Maybe he's in already. I don't even know. I don't think he is.
I don't think he's made the celebrity wing. No. Yeah, he's going.
There's still
to
time.
Soon, I have a feeling.
We haven't had an announced celebrity yet for 2020. So
it's true.
There's still time for Shaquille O'Neal. Maybe the Bellas run a reality show. Maybe they'll be the celebrity inductee, and then you can have Molly Holly as your female inductee, Miranda. Then you can be happy that Molly Holly gets
in. I'm going to throw this. Who gets in first? Who gets in first, Natalya or Molly Holly?
Ooh. Oh, that's a good question. It depends on when Natalya retires.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm going to say for now Molly Holly, but if Natalya retires – she's going in the year she retires.
I'm going to say Natalya.
Maybe.
I'm going to say Natalya. You think it'd be the year
she retires, like Miranda says? Think it'd be that fast?
I think she'll go in right after she retires because she won't be like the headliner, like Big Dave.
Well, no.
But she'll go. I think she will go in the year she retires because we've talked before about do they have enough people? Do they not have enough people? You know, I believe they do. I think what we're going to see is they're going to put people in right after they retire to capitalize on that momentum, and then they can push off some of the other people that they have in mind to save them for future years when somebody big doesn't retire. I can honestly see Natalya going in shortly after she retires. Do they have any female? Okay, I know they have Sarah Amato, and I believe she's a backstage agent as a female. She might be the only agent or producer backstage as a female. I think Natalya would become one pretty much immediately. Would become a producer backstage. Yeah. I mean, her husband already is one, or at least was one. I don't know if he still is.
Well, given a role in the locker room in general right now, based on what we know, makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, she's going to be there for a long, long time, regardless of how long she continues to wrestle. Has she made any comments about wrapping up her career or anything like that?
No.
Have we seen anything? Not that. She's 37. I'm pulling up. You know, we did all the ages last week. Yep, she's 37. Plenty of time left if she wants to. She kind of had some time. You know, she doesn't wrestle every week, so she definitely has.
The wear and tear factors. And I went with her because I felt like that was a fair comp to Molly.
I don't think it is. I think she surpassed Molly by a lot.
Okay.
Well, I can see what you mean more by personality-wise, that it isn't as dynamic, but as far as work rate.
She still needs to work on her fake cry, by the way.
You know my opinions on Natalya. Natalya needs a character. Natalya can't be herself turned to 11. Natalya's got to be a character. Natalya, by the way, made her debut in the year 2000. She's been doing this for 19 years.
She's been around.
Been with WWE since 2007. I mean...
Yeah, that's... I mean, if there's a word to describe her, it's steady. Like she is just a steady, reliable hand in the ring that you can have at any point.
Yeah, totally. I mean,
she's a Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, only a two-time women's champion in WWE. That's you'd think she'd have more, but no.
She doesn't need a belt.
She might.
You think?
I mean, I think she could have at some points in her career. I think it would have been. We may be having a different conversation if she had some more title runs, as far as you know her legacy and maybe some more memorable programs that she had. At this point, no. But I think kind of earlier on, we may have a different conversation.
And I guess what I say by she doesn't need a belt is that she's always a credible opponent.
Yes.
Like even it like, and we may if I don't know if you want to segue this way, because I wouldn't call her a jobber to the stars necessarily, but she is definitely a talent that puts people over, particularly when you're looking at people who are up and coming. Like you look at who she like new member of the women's division comes up that they're trying to push. If they're a heel, they work with Natalya.
if they're a face, Natalya will turn heel and work with them. So,
and work with them, yeah.
She turns like she's Big Show. I will say this. I think Natalya will go down. If I had to describe one word, if I had to describe Natalya's most likely legacy in one word, it's going to be underappreciated. I don't think she'll ever get the credit that she is due, quote-unquote due, so to speak, for her career because of the lack of championships, because of the lack of big pushes, because of the lack of personality. I don't know that she'll ever really get the respect and appreciation she deserves.
Kind of like Molly Holly. Oh,
yeah. But she's done it way longer than Molly
Full
Holly.
Full circle.
Like, that's the difference.
Full circle.
The longevity is there with her and Molly Holly. And Molly Holly,
right.
Different time, different era, different lots of things. So
we derailed that cover. Look where we took that today.
We didn't derail it. We made it better. That's
a little,
what we
little
did.
Little Natalya Hall of Fame talk. Who would have – you got to put that in the little, like, push thing. When you're, you know, the little blurb they write, yeah. Greg? Like – and see how many clicks under zero we get for that headline topic.
I'm not going to make it a headline topic because that's the thing. Yeah. Like everyone wants to talk about the Bella twins. If you're going to put a name in a headline,
that's what's the headline topic. And then maybe in parentheses and Natalya.
And Natalya.
But that's the thing. Like
smaller font.
We're talking about the Bella twins and how people feel about them. Way bigger headline name is the Bella twins over Natalya. But you ask the internet fan, they'd pick Natalya 10 times out of 10.
Well,
the Bella Twins.
They do one of these things in Canada again, then we're sold. So I'm just, you know, maybe whenever they do another WrestleMania in Canada, then we know it's probably that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I can see that. By the way, since I forgot to mention it earlier, if you like watching wrestling, you should probably head on over to powerslam.tv. Look, I know that some of you out there listening love me, and some of you out there listening hate me. And that's fine. That's what I want. But we can all agree that we all like to watch wrestling. We all love to watch wrestling. Don't point, Miranda. No pointing. I'm not ready to play a soundbite because I got to play a commercial. So anyway, watch wrestling. You can see tons of wrestling promotions. Like we talked about last week, over 150 of your favorite wrestling promotions and Combat Zone Wrestling are all available for you at powerslam.tv. And you don't even have to fork over $5.99 right away because with the promo code CHAIRSHOT, you can get a free month, an entire month for free over at powerslam.tv. Promo code CHAIRSHOT.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
It's powerslam.tv, promo code CHAIRSHOT, powerslam.tv, promo code CHAIRSHOT. Miranda, get ready.
It's time for another edition of Baron Corbin. Sucks.
Baron Corbin may have won his match at TLC this weekend, but he still sucks.
That'll do it for this week's edition of Baron Corbin Sucks.
You can also head over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot and pick up your very own Baron Corbin Sucks t-shirt. When you do so, pick it up in the only style possible, the style of soft, and get yourself a Queen of Soft Style t-shirt in honor of Miranda Morales. Don't get yourself a Patrick O'Dowd t-shirt because there isn't one, and he will be sure to remind us. So, okay.
You just got to rub salt in the wound.
That's what I do. Yeah, that's what I do.
Tell me how my ass tastes.
See, this is good. I like this.
Oh, jeez.
you're embarrassing Miranda.
I noticed. Okay, segment three on the program today, because that's what I labeled it on the rundown. I'm going to let you guys pick, okay? We got two possible topics we can talk about. We can talk about what I have termed the new storytelling model in WWE. Or we can talk about the ratings, because this seems to be the one time that it's actually worth talking about the ratings. But I'm not going to decide. I'm going to let you decide. So one topic is going to go by the wayside, not to be talked about. Maybe we'll put it in the vault for Miranda. Who knows? But it will not be discussed. The other topic will be discussed. What do you guys think?
How do we decide? What if we each decide on one topic? Like, did you think this through? I'm just throwing that out there.
No, I didn't. But that's okay. What do you guys think?
I was like, if we are split, then Greg's just going to break the tie.
Maybe.
Is really what I would
say. I honestly haven't thought. That would be an in-the-moment decision for me is how I decided to break the tie if there's a tie.
But for me personally, I'm more interested in talking about storytelling than to talk about ratings, even though the tanking ratings is an interesting problem.
Okay.
So I vote storytelling.
Miranda?
I actually agree. I mean, the only other reason I would have wanted to talk about the ratings is you mentioned Love and Hip Hop in here, which I, am a fan of. So I was going to do a segue into that. But luckily for both of you, I'm much more committed to talking about pro wrestling storylines.
But now so, I feel like I missed out. We could have heard about
it. I have a question. This is the hard part when you know somebody personally. You don't have time to watch all this shit that you talk about. Like
that, I mean, I make the time, I have YouTube on my phone and sure. I'll do some peeks here and there.
Okay.
And I also am a lady, so it takes a while for me to get ready in the morning. I'm a lady.
Are you?
So, really? Yes. Uh-huh. Yes, I am kind, sir. Don't make me go
away. That was kind of rude. I'm not going to lie.
Yes.
That was a little rude.
So yes, long and short of it, I can watch both. But yeah.
Okay.
So luckily for you, Greg, you don't have to do the tiebreaker vote.
That's right.
Greg, here's the thing: Love and Hip Hop is on like every 5 minutes. Like you just like turn on.
I can't remember the last time I turned on VH1. I don't even know.
Well,
if I
that's
because
VH1. You lost what? You got off social media. Did you get off TV too?
No, I have TV. I have more time to watch TV now because I'm not on social media as much.
So. I'm just saying, if you go like on that little channel guide that flips around.
I have I can pull it up. I have YouTube TV. It's amazing, by the way. I can pull it up anywhere.
Well,
it's the greatest thing ever.
For me, so the DirecTV with the DVR and all that, you get the little channel guide. You turn to VH1, it's like Love and Hip Hop.
I get six different accounts on YouTube TV. I could give you guys one. I don't use all.
Oh wow. Well, hello. Why was this not part of the conversation to begin with?
Actually, couldn't give Pat. So I gave one to somebody who's writing for the website, and YouTube took it away because they were in a different time zone than me. So I don't think I could give it to Patrick. I think I can only give it to Miranda. Which I'm gonna have to hear about that again.
Tell me how my ass tastes.
So yeah, it's more reasons for Patrick to get mad at me.
Just new best friend. I see how it goes.
Fucking A. Really? Yes. You know what? No, own it. Yeah, yeah. His new best friend. I have two now.
Wow.
I've had two.
No.
We had this conversation. It's okay. Mm-hmm. It's all right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's just, one is silver and the other is gold. Make new friends. But keep the old. One is silver and the other is gold.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. So
Miranda.
New storytelling
it
model.
It has no
end. New story. So you guys both picked a new storytelling model. So we're going to talk about the ratings. No, we're not. We're going to talk about the storytelling model.
You dick.
It's the kind of thing that I would do, but I'm really not going to do. I really wanted you guys to pick. I don't know how I would have broken the tie. I would have come up with some funny way to do it. But we have seen WWE, especially Raw, but also SmackDown, kind of infuse some new/old storytelling devices over the past few weeks and months. We've seen the use of more enhancement talent or roster talent kind of being used in that jobber to the stars role. One thing that's really piqued my interest is the delaying of matches from pay-per-view or using other matches on a pay-per-view platform to extend a feud or an angle. An example is this Monday on Raw, Seth Rollins is setting up a match with Rey Mysterio, but he's still feuding with Kevin Owens. And so obviously that's going to tie in. Or how Bray Wyatt faced The Miz at WWE TLC and not Daniel Bryan, but that match was used to extend the feud between the Bray Wyatt, The Fiend, and Daniel Bryan. Just, AJ Styles versus Randy Orton was heavily talked about for TLC, but was moved and planned for Raw. Like, this definitely is a shift in the storytelling model. I guess for starters, we'll go Patrick, Miranda, Greg like we normally do. For starters, you know, outside of me writing this on a piece of paper, and again, this is my own personal observation, which means I can be wrong. Do you see it too, Patrick? Or is this just me imagining something that may not be there?
No, I don't think you're imagining something that you're... I like the way that you called it a new slash old storytelling device, because I kind of feel like... And we've been doing this show for a long time. What is my feeling about storylines and their effectiveness? What have I always pushed for?
The longer, the better.
I like longer storylines. I like storylines that weave a lot of different elements into it and eventually lead to a satisfying payoff. And I don't know that we got that in recent years when it came to storytelling. It seemed like we were blowing through things within 3 months. And, you know, we're only a little ways removed from Survivor Series, but we're seeing a new direction for Seth Rollins that I think is going to lead to a significant period of time with his new angle and wherever, you know, where he's going. Like you said, setting up matches with Rey Mysterio, his thing with Kevin Owens. I'm hoping, and maybe it's just in front of WrestleMania, but I really like having some stories that extend for months, you know, 6 months ish as a possibility. I think I'm asking too much for a year. But I think it gives stories time to, as I used to say, like marinate and breathe a little bit and do a little bit more. Especially if you find that feud is working, you know, not overstaying its welcome.
Miranda, what do you think?
Yeah, I would agree that, you know, there's been a lot of stories that have just been blown through, matches that have been put together, people only feuding for maybe, you know, 2 weeks, and then we all already see it on a pay-per-view. It seems like over the past 2 months especially, that has gone away. And an interesting example, I think, is Bobby Lashley and Rusev. We thought we were going to get that at Survivor Series, and luckily we didn't. And not to say that necessarily their match at TLC was, you know, a knockout, but you know, it would have been lost within the Survivor Series pay-per-view, and it may have hurt the storyline to rush through it. So, and even seeing you know, Bayley and Lacey Evans, that was rumored a lot for TLC, but that wasn't on the card. And so I think it's smart to hold off on these matches and not just rush them into the next pay-per-view, because it gives you more time to tell stories, to build people up as well, especially when you're trying to do something like a Lacey Evans and Bayley, where you're building Lacey Evans into a face. Now you're gonna have to put some work into it, so to rush them into a match is not gonna help Lacey at all. So I like the way that they are approaching these stories, at least when it, you know, comes into when something is going to be on a pay-per-view. I know we'll talk more, I'm sure, about some of these other storylines, but it shows too that they're being just more aware of their performers. They're trying to develop them into more you know, characters and personalities, and really trying to get people invested in them. I also like the idea too of utilizing enhancement talent more into storylines, which has been something that people have stated, you know, as far as articulated of, you know, what do you want WWE to do differently or to do better? Because there's been lots of talk about, well, I hate WWE. I don't like what they're doing. Okay, make a suggestion then on how they can do something better or different. And I do think that this has been one that fans have suggested about incorporating different people into storylines. And WWE, you know, taking that into how they're building stories now, it's a good way to build people. You have a huge roster. And so if you're not going to slowly build them into stories and have them have great matches, then what are you doing all of this for? So I really appreciate what they're trying to do with bringing in people from NXT or even 205 Live into stories on Raw and SmackDown. And I think long term it will help their careers, even though they may not be winning necessarily right away. Long term, it's going to set them up for success.
Yeah, it's there's a lot of different layers to it, and I do like. I don't mind the jobber to the stars that have been being used. I mean, I don't think anyone thought No Way Jose was going to set the world on fire or anything like that. So I think we're fine. You know, Akira Tozawa, it was great in a cruiserweight role. Being a quote-unquote jobber to the stars can actually allow him to maybe build some momentum and some fan support for a little mini push at some point in the future. But, you know, I think people have some realistic expectations there of what he can do. One of the things that we talked about last week on the Hashtag Miranda Show, which you can hear here on thechairshot.com later on Wednesday, when we were talking about TLC, I brought up something that Patrick O'Dowd has talked about for years, and it hasn't come up as recently, but if Patrick had his way, and obviously the WWE Network doesn't allow for this because part of what comes along with the network is that promise of a pay-per-view every month, Patrick would rather not have a pay-per-view every month. He would rather have the Big Four, the Big Five, and put that out there and let them build stories there. And I've said this before, and I think now it's more accurate than it's ever been, even when I was saying it before. I think we're there, to be honest with you. Like, I think more and more these non-major pay-per-views are becoming network specials. It's almost like a mix of a pay-per-view and a Saturday Night's main event or a TV special. I mean, TLC didn't feel like a pay-per-view. It felt like a continuation in a lot of ways. It felt like a hyped-up edition of Raw. Like, it wasn't, in so many ways, it really wasn't the end-all, be-all pay-per-view. I mean, you had elements, and not a whole lot was really resolved there. It was a continuation of what's going on TV. And look, TV is more important now with the amount of money that's tied up in the TV deals. But to me, I feel like we're pretty much there, Patrick, but still with a model that the WWE needs to support, you know, the network.
Right. The thing that's a challenge with this model and that kind of direction is people, while we're saying that's what's going on, people don't think of those shows that way necessarily. You see that's people why, who have, that's have why been we so programmed. I know. But we've been very much conditioned. And this is one of those things when people talk about how great the Attitude Era and Nitro was. The Attitude Era and Nitro also gave us pay-per-views that we didn't need. Because that's when the monthly model started to really kick in. You had In Your Houses before those went away and just started to take on other names. And then WCW, they talked about, like, again, I know it, we sound like shills for 83 weeks, but Bischoff talks about how that model changed and evolved, and how it went from 4 to 6 to every month, plus the Clash of Champions before they discontinued it. And so we've created an expectation out of the audience that these monthly pay-per-views are going to be more than what they are. So scaling them back or changing the nature of some of these in-between pay-per-views is going to take some time for fans to really get on board with. But I think it's a model that can work. They still have to do something to make it special. And if that means themed pay-per-view, which I don't like, I don't really particularly care for a themed pay-per-view. But if you got to find a way to where you still want people going into the network to see these shows. And if it just feels like a Raw with, you know, maybe longer matches, that's not going to do it. So you got to find, there's a line there, and you got to figure out how to balance that, between making these things feel special and still advance a story where maybe you don't resolve whatever feud you were expecting to see resolved, or it changes what the next step is in the feud.
Yes, I totally agree. And I want to say a prime example of that is Bray Wyatt, Daniel Bryan, Miz storyline. I think that they've done a fantastic job of doing exactly what you just said, Patrick. We had Daniel Bryan and Bray Wyatt at Survivor Series, and we didn't get that again for TLC. For most of the year, we usually would get the rematch right after in the next pay-per-view. Instead, we got Bray Wyatt versus The Miz. And actually, let me go back. So we had The Fiend versus Daniel Bryan at Survivor Series and Bray Wyatt versus The Miz at TLC. So already we are seeing a change in dynamic in this story, just between The Fiend and Bray Wyatt. And even though the match itself for The Miz and Bray Wyatt was really just a catalyst to then, you know, bring Daniel Bryan back into the fold and add to that story. So that, I think, is very smart. And really, I mean, talk about continuity, talk about, you know, extending a story for several months, talk about making things not repetitive. I mean, it's really hitting a lot of things that is, you know, still somewhat of a silly storyline, but overall making it very strong. We're seeing layers to Bray Wyatt and The Fiend. We're seeing now layers to Daniel Bryan. We saw him kind of do this transformation back to, you know, old Daniel Bryan, you know, the American Dragon, or however this new iteration of Daniel Bryan. And I don't think that would have happened if we would have just seen this match again at TLC. So absolutely, I agree. But I think specifically that storyline is such a prime example of that.
And I think we're going to see that storyline. I think we're going to see the same thing on Raw with Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens, as now we got something going on with Seth Rollins and Rey Mysterio. But I think the end game for that is still going to be Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens in the long run. So here's the question I want to ask you guys. It has not as much to do with this as much as I just kind of want to point this out. We all listen to podcasts. We all listen to whatever. And last week I brought this up about a different topic. I don't think anybody else is talking about this. Like, have we heard anyone else proclaim that the WWE, like, there's been a news report here and there that Paul Heyman's trying to do things differently, but, like, I don't think people are digging into this topic. I don't know.
No.
Miranda, is Dave Meltzer digging into this topic when you listen to his radio show every day?
Sign into his...
You know, not that I'm aware of. You know, he did bring up what we talked about last week about ageism. From what I understand, so we pretty much just stole, you know, your idea.
Stealing from us. Well, that's because I didn't post it on Twitter, because he wouldn't see it if I posted it on Twitter, because he blocked me a long time ago. It was like this time last year, I think, that he blocked me. It was while we were on the air.
The anniversary of the Meltzer block.
The anniversary of the Meltzer block. That's
we'll have a amazing. We'll commemorate that in a show, I'm sure.
At some point, yeah, if I could find out when he did it. So I don't know. But yeah, I feel like we're tackling topics that people aren't tackling. We're setting the trends where
I'm not sure if people are really noticing these patterns or want to notice some of these patterns or realizing it's a pattern. I do think that sometimes WWE does have to work extra hard for fans to notice good things, because for every one good thing that they'll do or a smart decision that they'll make, there's going to be three other ones. They may even be small, but other decisions that they make that fans will then go back and say, you still don't know what you're doing. It's still bad, you know? So well, I think that that is just the mindset of fans, when it comes to WWE, and it's going to be challenging for fans to look at this as a positive thing, because they're going to see others that they just don't like.
Patrick got this look on his face, like he's going to say something funny. Like, I just saw the look on his face, like he's about to tear somebody or do something.
I don't know that I was going to say something funny, but I also think that you see it more and more that fandom really doesn't see anything that the WWE does as coming from a place of goodwill for its fans. In terms of kind of the toxic fandom that you see, because the WWE could book a show like AEW, and if the WWE cranked out a show like AEW, it would get crushed.
It sure would.
It would get crushed. And I've tried to watch AEW more than once. I can't do it. I can't do it. It's just, if you like AEW, great. They're not setting the world on fire, people. They're not changing wrestling. They're not reshaping any sort of landscape. It's ECW/Nitro all over again. Like, that's what it is.
But they celebrated selling 100,000 tickets before they sold 100,000 tickets. Like, they basically
celebrated. They're the WWE
confidence,
too.
Baby. They knew they were going to get to it, so they didn't worry about it.
But that's the thing. They celebrated selling 100,000 tickets, and WWE was like, that was January. Like, it's just.
Right. Like, apples and oranges. They're two completely different entities. And it blows my mind how far the goodwill has extended for AEW.
Yes.
Because the fact that Chris Jericho, and I don't know if that meeting or whatever was true or not, was like calling out the fact that they're not following their own rules that they were very proud of and touted.
That meeting, first of all, people talking about that meeting just
shut your dumb mouth.
It pisses me off because here's the thing: that meeting was reported on 3 weeks ago. Like they're just regurgitating the same thing. It's nothing new. Like it's just slow news time, and so instead of regurgitating the same topics, we're talking about new stuff. Like I brought that up, just toot our own horn. Well, let's be honest. Like, that's what this is all about. Right. Self-gratification because someone's got to do it, you know, because the shows that win awards on Wrestling Podcast Awards suck. So we got to toot our own horn.
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes, and you better make it good.
We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. The clock is ticking, and we're in the clear. We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here.
I was going to use the other topic as a 3 minute warning, but I'm not going to do that. You know why? Because we would talk about it for like 25 minutes.
Yeah. And three plus three.
Keep going. Plus three, plus three, plus three, plus three, plus three, plus one would get us to the 25 minutes that we need to get to if I did my math right. And I may have not, who knows. So I'll just play this.
You got no choice, babe.
Patrick Goodout, don't depart when I play some show closing music. Stay on just for like 2 extra minutes. That'll be fine. You can follow Patrick Goodout at Wrestling Realist on the Twitter. It's WrestlingRealist. You can follow Miranda at the hashtag Miranda on Instagram and on Facebook, but not on Twitter because Twitter needs more than she needs Twitter. You can follow me everywhere at ChairShotGreg. I mean, I'm on there like once or twice a week, but yeah, you can follow me. The website is at thechairshot.com on social media. That's thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
You can head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/the chair shot. That's prowrestlingtees.com/the chair shot and pick up your very own chair shot t-shirt, including the hashtag Queen of Soft Style t-shirt. Baron Corbin sucks. Jesus did the job. Hashtag journalism. And so many more. And even if you don't get a Queen of Soft Style t-shirt, still get your t-shirt in the soft style. You'll be just so much more comfortable. All right, we are obviously next Wednesday is Christmas Day, and we are still planning on putting together some content for you guys because we know that there's people out there who are going to try to escape from the family, need something to listen to, something to do, so you can expect content from us on Christmas Day. We're probably not going to record on Christmas Eve, but you can expect content from us on Christmas Day. Also on New Year's Day, we are planning. Other years, we haven't always put out content that time of year. This year, we are. Because you're our fans, you're our listeners, and we love you.
Aw, Puddin.
But other than that, yep, that's going to do it. So stay tuned for the Hashtag Miranda Show. Later this week, you've also got The Outsider's Edge, Pod is War, Wednesday Night Wars, and so much more right here on the ChairShot Radio Network. And hey, head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Pick up your very own... No. Head over to powerslam.tv. I'm reading the wrong shit now. Go over to powerslam.tv, promo code ChairShot, get a free month, see all of your favorite wrestling promotions, over 150 of them, over 6,000 hours of content, all your favorite wrestling promotions, and Combat Zone Wrestling.
Were you trying to get crazy with this thing? Don't you know I'm loco?
It's bigger than ever. Stronger than ever. Forever. Locky loaded, yo loaded, show loaded.